the late summer and early fall mean it's time for harvest festivals and parties with plenty of great food. One of those types of gatherings is the Swedish crayfish party. Yesterday, WPR teamed up with Al Johnson's restaurant in Door County for Crayfish Summerfest, which featured traditional Swedish food and drink, including strawberry cardamom shortbread and, of course, crayfish. To tell us more about Sweden's cooking and the culture of the crayfish party, we're joined by a few guests in our Green Bay studio. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and Food Friday regular. Lori, hello.
Hi there. I'm surprised you can hear me. I'd really rather be drinking some more of that Aquavit up in Door County right now.
Well, it must have really, you know, helped the pipes because you sound great. Rolf Johnson is co-owner of Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Sister Bay. Rolf, thanks for joining us also.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon.
And Freddie Bexell is the head chef at Al Johnson's. He also grew up in Sweden. Freddie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Lori, let's start with you. Yesterday, you were with Rolf and Freddie in Sister Bay for the WPR Crayfish Summerfest. What was the atmosphere like?
This was a very happy party. There were somewhere between 150 and 200 people at tables. The tent was strung with brilliant paper lanterns. Everybody was wearing paper hats with images of the sun and the moon and crayfish on them. This is a very casual party. You're meant to roll up your sleeves, rip the crayfish apart with your hands, and enjoy great food and a lot of great conversation. I gather, gentlemen, the idea of a crayfish party is this is the last big outdoor party in Sweden before we have to start worrying about there's no more sunshine. So this is a big deal in Sweden, isn't it?
Very big deal. It's as we know, the days are getting shorter starting in June, and they're looking forward to that. We're not looking forward to the long, dark winter. And we notice that the days are getting shorter more so in August when the sun starts setting a little earlier. So it's their last big hurrah.
Absolutely.
Well, and Freddie, tell us about what kind of food is involved. If we're in Sweden and we happen to be lucky enough to get an invitation to a crayfish dinner, what kind of food can we expect besides, you know, that centerpiece of the crayfish?
Most of the time, it's actually mostly crayfish and some bread and some cheese, and of course the aquavit. Sometimes, depending on all, every family has their own tradition. You know, I mean, we added the dill potatoes and the corn because it's Wisconsin, so we needed sweet corn.
Absolutely.
And Rolf, tell us about aquavit, because a couple of you have now mentioned that.
Aquavit is a staple item at the Kräftskiva. That's what they say in Sweden for the crayfish fest. And it's an alcohol. It's a snaps, or schnapps, as you say here. And it's flavored with different types of herbs. Ours is flavored with orange rind.
Orange peel, yep. Yeah. Cardamom.
And so we make our own in-house. And it's quite the hit. I like to tease other Swedes, and Freddie especially, that if it wasn't for the aquavit, that a lot of Swedes wouldn't get to know each other.
Now, one of the interesting things about aquavit is in the current climate of craft cocktails, this is still not something that really gets used as a mixer in any cocktails. You still want it to be drunk the way we were drinking it last night. You have a couple of crayfish, and then you take your shot of schnapps. The idea being, this is grain and potato-based alcohol, but it has those herbs in it. There is, some would say, all right, the FCC or the FDA hasn't weighed in on it, but there is something medicinal about it. This does help your digestion, having alcohol with herbs and spices in it to just make everything go down easier.
Yeah, no difference than people are drinking bitters here.
Exactly. Mm,
interesting. So I have to say the orange and cardamom combo sounds delicious to me. But Freddie, are there some other herbal combinations that we might find in our aquavit?
Once again, every family that makes their own have their own recipes. I mean, our bar manager, Bryn, she has made various, I mean, she's been playing around with it for a while. So there's a couple of them that has the caraway seeds in it and fennel. And so it's, like I said, it's kind of the same tradition as the crayfish itself. Every family has their own.
Wow, that they all sound delicious. And yeah, I can see how you'd need something to wash down those crayfish. Well, Lori, you mentioned that the crayfish party is, you know, traditionally held in August. It's kind of a harvest festival, but that thinking of crayfish as the harvest really kind of plays with our idea of what we're usually harvesting and maybe having for, say, a Thanksgiving dinner.
When we say harvest, and you're like me, you've grown up on a farm, you always think of, what did I just harvest out of the dirt?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, whether it's crayfish or cranberries, a great deal of harvesting has to do with what's in the water. So there's a great sense of the season and how you're working with it, the optimum time to be out in the water, getting that harvest in. Now, in Sweden, it's a little bit difficult these days to find crayfish, isn't it?
It has been really hard, and you know they've been importing crayfish from a lot from Turkey and Thailand, but also from Louisiana. But it's slowly starting to come back in the waters in Sweden for the last couple of years now. So it's more popular to get
the sign of a healthy lake is a lot of crayfish, right?
Yes.
Well, and I was going to ask Freddie what was the cause of that crash of the crayfish population.
A lot of them had disease. It spread all the way through. But the whole country is full of small lakes, so it spread fairly quickly and pretty much killed off all the crayfish.
So are crayfish only freshwater?
No. Yes.
Well,
in Sweden they are, but
okay.
Yeah.
Great. We are talking with three guests from our Green Bay studios, Lori Skelton, WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. We also have Rolf Johnson, who's co-owner of Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Sister Bay, and Freddie Bexell, who's the head chef at Al Johnson's. We are talking about Swedish cuisine, specifically crayfish dinners. Yesterday, WPR hosted a dinner there in Sister Bay, and sounds like it was a great party. I'm sorry that I was down here for it. Well, Freddie, let's talk about how you prepare the crayfish. How do you get them ready to bring to the table?
So we boil them in dark beer, water, salt and sugar, and a lot of dill crowns.
That's important. Dill crown is the dill after it has floured. So that is going to give the dill a much... I guess the best word is assertive taste rather than feathery green dill. If dill has flowered, it's got a punch to it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's almost more towards like the pickling part of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which again ties in with the brine aspect of it. And you mentioned dark beer. Not everybody uses beer in their brine. Why do you use beer?
That's just something that we did in my family. That's how mom did it. So, you know, and most of the time in Sweden, it's, you know, you drink lighter beer like a lager, but somehow she always liked the darker part for her crayfish, so that's how I learned.
Wow.
It sounds like there's a lot of tradition built into really kind of every aspect of these crayfish dinners.
It was something I heard so often from the guests at the party last night, whether they were Swedish themselves or whether they just still had family and friends in Sweden and they'd taken part in these dinners themselves in Sweden. Everybody I talked to got a little bit misty-eyed with the idea that there is so much goodwill and community building around this relatively simple supper. Boiled crayfish and bread and cheese and a little bit of schnapps, but there is something that is really strong about, yeah, it's simple, but we do it every year and we do it as a community, we do it with our friends. There was something very, very powerful in everybody's reminiscence about what they had had before and how thrilled they were that they got to do it in Door County this year.
And that's how it's been in Sweden, too. Like I said, it's always hard to find crayfish, but the people that had it were always happy to share it because it was such an old tradition with everybody there. So even if you only had a couple, you would make sure that your neighbors got some to share it as well.
Very community building.
No wonder.
And Freddie, is this a meal that people would have at their homes, or is this something they would have when they were actually out at the lakes and maybe, you know, scooping up those crayfish right then?
At their summer homes or whatever, most of the time, yes.
So that probably really adds to the atmosphere as well.
Absolutely.
And Rolf, so we've got the crayfish boiled, sounds great, the dill head or crown, the dark beer, the sugar, the salt. So there they are, ready to come to the table, and they're in their shells. For crayfish novices, how do you eat them?
Well, everybody's got a different way. The way I was taught, off come the claws first, and you some places have a tool to get it out, but of course you got to roll up your sleeves. You don't want to wear anything nice. You don't want to wear a white shirt.
We were all wearing bibs last night.
Yeah, the bibs come in handy, and Swedes are pretty timid. When it comes to a crayfish party, they let their guard down. And then you usually split open the bottom, and there's a lot of slurping or sucking sounds going on because you want to suck the juice out first, and then it becomes basically a peel and eat item.
And I know that, like when you cook shrimp in their shells, they get so much more flavor, and the shell really adds a lot. Freddie, is that the same thing with the crayfish?
Yes, absolutely.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about Swedish cooking with Lori Skelton, Rolf Johnson, and Freddie Bexell. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you gone to a crayfish party, either here in Wisconsin or in Sweden? What made it special? Do you have a favorite Swedish dish that's been passed down in your family? Or do you have a creative way to use some of the foods we're talking about, like crayfish? And we'll be talking more about cardamom and delicious shortbreads. Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. We're picking up our talk with Lori Skelton, Rolf Johnson, and Freddie Bexell, looking at Swedish cooking and crayfish parties. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is Swedish cooking part of your family's heritage? What are some of your favorite dishes? If you've been to a crayfish party before, give us a call and tell us about it. And what makes food traditions important to you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Well, Lori, you and I have something in common that I didn't know until today. We are both big fans of cardamom, and we'll look in a minute at strawberry cardamom shortbread, which made an appearance at yesterday's event. But for people who might not use it much or not be sure what the flavor is like, how would you describe it and how do you like to use it?
Cardamom is a spice that is native to India, and like cinnamon, which it is sometimes paired with, it has a warming quality to it. The difference between cardamom and cinnamon is that cardamom also has a slight menthol undertone when it's ground, especially when it's ground. You can find cardamom either in the whole pods, which are toasted before you break open to get the black seeds, and are sometimes used whole, but very often cardamom is those black seeds ground. And that's where you need to be a little bit careful with it. Cardamom can overwhelm things, but use it well, use it in good balance with your other flavors, and I think it's one of the most magical things out there. And one thing that I love about cardamom in Scandinavian cooking, certainly in Swedish cooking, yeah, it's a no-brainer for sweet things. Substitute some cardamom in your cinnamon rolls next time you make them. But cardamom in savory dishes is out of this world. Mm. And we were talking just before we went on air about how you can use it for, say, cauliflower. It's not good with every brassica, but it's great with cauliflower. It's great with carrots. And if you're working, say, with a winter squash and you're used to cinnamon and butter or brown sugar, you may want to try cardamom the next time and change your game up. But cardamom makes an appearance. All right, you've mentioned the aquavit, but it made an appearance on the Al Johnson's table last night with the dessert, with the shortbread.
And Freddie, let's talk about that strawberry cardamom shortbread. And I will say that I've been known to put cardamom seeds in my coffee, the coffee grounds, before I make my coffee. So my coffee gets infused with cardamom. And I got to believe that that would go pretty well with this strawberry cardamom shortbread. Tell us how we make the shortbread.
Well, it's another family tradition of mine. My grandma used to make sweet rolls with cardamom in it, and when I started working in Al's, I was keep hinting to our baker that you need to start making this cardamom bread. So he started making it's only been a couple of years, actually, since he started making it, and it's been very popular, even though I eat most of it myself, to be honest.
And what we were eating last night, I normally think of shortbread as a very buttery, crumbly cookie. And as you say, what we had last night was almost more of a tea bread. It was very pale and beautiful and had a lovely soft crumb. Mary Berry would have called that one of the best cakes she's ever eaten.
Would she have said it was scrummy?
Yes, she would have said it was scrummy. It was scrummy. Beautifully flavored with cardamom. Again, not overwhelming. And it perfumed those strawberries, even, you know, just from the cake itself. It was amazing.
Perfumed is a good word for it, because I think of cardamom as a very aromatic spice to use. And we do have the recipe for cardamom shortbread at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now, something that Swedes and Wisconsinites can agree on is cheese. And Rolf, Västerbotten cheese is one that pops up at crayfish parties. Tell us about it.
Freddie's going to have to share that with you. I don't know a lot about the Swedish cheeses. I know I love to eat them. And when he brought them out there, and I was always used to the Bondust that we used to have growing up, but Freddie has introduced me to way more cheeses than I knew existed.
Well, Freddie, why don't you jump in?
One of the cheeses we had last night was an aged priest cheese, which I buy once in a while, I should say, mostly for myself, but we also have it, so we sell it in the restaurant. We use it for sandwiches as well.
Now, last week, I brought in, not aged, but I was able to find some priest cheese, had it sent to me, and it starts off tasting like Parmesan, and the finish is more like cheddar. The combination was mind-blowingly delicious.
It was really good. I really liked it. It had a very fresh flavor, but a very fresh but very buttery kind of flavor to it.
Yeah. So rumor has it that you can get either that cheese or possibly the Västerbotten at IKEA. Now, I've yet to see it at the one in Oak Creek, but maybe if we keep our fingers crossed, is this possible?
Yes, it is. Västerbotten is it's harder to get. The priest cheese, it's usually easier. I haven't had any luck getting this aged priest cheese in a while. It's a little bit stronger. It's more crumbly. The priest cheese normally is pretty creamy, almost like the Bondost, the farmer's cheese.
So are you saying priest like a Catholic priest?
Yes.
Okay. But it's not spelled anywhere near
okay.
that.
No. Okay. but it's a homonym. Okay. I want to make sure I was hearing that.
Yes.
Right.
So it's prestost in Swedish.
Okay. So, Freddie, I know in a lot of northern climates, mushrooms are a really popular ingredient, and I hear that that is true for Sweden as well. Is first of all, is mushroom foraging part of Swedish culture?
Chanterelles is very popular as well, just kind of like it is here. You just have to know the right person that can have the spot for you.
And share it with nobody.
Yeah. Okay. Share it with nobody, that's right.
Mm. And how do you use them in Swedish cooking?
Just slowly saute them in butter. I mean, I'd like them just on a piece of limpa toast, just like salt and pepper and butter.
So simple, but a real way to showcase the flavor.
Yes.
I know, getting back to that Västerbotten cheese, I know a lot of people will make a quiche-type pie with that cheese and chanterelles. I was trying to come up with a sturdier crust, like a raised pie with caraway and dill and just mushrooms and cream. I was going for Swedish flavors. I couldn't quite get the right consistency of pie. So I think I have one of my projects for this winter out before me. See if I can get a sort of a Swedish pie without a recipe.
That's actually a very traditional dish that goes with the crayfish, especially when you get the northern part of Sweden. It's the Västerbotten pie.
Mushroom pie?
No, the Västerbotten, especially that cheese go with crayfish, because it's a very strong cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly what we had last night was delicious.
Michael from Fitchburg wanted to add that he's been to Stockholm many times, and his favorite dish is called fisksoppa, which is like a fish stew. And so it does definitely seem like there is a theme of the bounty of the water that plays into Swedish cuisine.
Absolutely. Like, cod has always been a big part of Swedish cuisine, just because it's everywhere. And it's easy to get and fairly cheap.
Freddie, I wanted to ask you about you know, we are very affected by where we live. And one of the things about Sweden, especially as you were saying, getting up into northern Sweden, is that there is a very big difference in how much daylight there is, say, in June versus, say, November. And how would you say that that difference and that cycle influences Swedish cooking?
I don't know if it's so much influence of the cooking per se, but like Rolf talked about, like the crayfish part, it's like end of summer, like, okay, this is our last party outside, because it's like the days are getting very short, because you know what's coming, and especially up north, you know, it gets dark really, really quick in the afternoon. I had a coworker that worked in the northern tip of Sweden, and they said that it was... the sun came up for like 2 hours and winked at you, and then when it was dark again.
And briefly, before we wrap up, Rolf, you know, what do you think it is about food that is so evocative of our cultural traditions and our ties to our culture?
Oh, I think every culture has that camaraderie-building food that they can recall. If it's in Sweden, it's the kräftskiva, the crayfish party. I've been to other many countries, and if you participate in their traditions, you're going to feel much more welcome. They're going to accept you more easily. And I think everybody, even up here in Wisconsin, the farming communities have similar things with their bountiful harvest at the end of their seasons.
Well, Rolf, Freddie, and Lori, what a fun conversation. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us on, Judith. This was a treat.
That was WPR's Lori Skelton, also Rolf Johnson and Freddie Bexell of Al Johnson's Swedish Restaurant in Sister Bay. They were talking with us about crayfish parties and some of their favorite Swedish dishes and celebrations.